For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, verses 9 to 10. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 15. The Mystery of God, the Manifestation of Father. Scriptures. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6, 44 to 51. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 1-15. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14:1-10. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:28-30, American Standard Version. And Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Over the lives of those who were set apart by the Holy Ghost, the Father had extended his hand. He held it over each one, palm down, cupped in shape, pushing down and diminishing their personal will. Their wills were suppressed in such a way as to bring them to a place of complete submission in love in their individual relationships with God. Only these who were set aside, outside of all the systems of men, had their personal will suppressed by God in this manner, with his hand causing their personal wills to be abated. The overcomers who were thus suppressed in this manner were revealed to me in their hearts. I saw that they had come to the place of no emotion, no ability to enjoy hope for this world, no ability to hope that God would ever again move in their lives. Being made empty, they cast themselves upon God with just naked faith and no other motivation or personal ambition. Some of them in their emptiness had a void in their lives. Without ambition, they had no ability to have soulish emotion over their present life in the world. Their life in the world, by the suppressing measure of God's hand, caused them to be emptied of anything of personal desire in this present evil world. All around the overcomer in the world of men, the will of man did not have the suppression by the hand of God. Instead, the will of man, as a reinforced personal self-will, in brackets, iniquity, had grown to the full. Personal self-will iniquity had grown to the full. God did not touch them in their will, but allowed them to have their sinful will grow unabated and unchecked. The world around these overcomers had grown out of control. The will of man caused much stress and discord, not just amongst individuals, but with entire nations as well. I saw that in the time periods of world history that the overcomers had the suppression of will take place, even during the times when societies were not as evil as it is now, but that the suppression of will continues even up to this present time. End vision. Second vision. I beheld then the overcomers, shadowed under the cupped hand of God, sheltered while his wrath escalated in the world of men. I saw that the overcomers were protected within and without by that anointing that God has anointed the overcomers with, which anointing held them in a place of total loss of personal will, but also gave them complete freedom in the things of God and his kingdom. A dual working of this anointing while they abode under the shadow of the Almighty, seeing then presently first, I saw that God has arisen in this present time to shake the world in its religion, its hidden agendas, and its worldly ambitions. The shaking that God is doing is based on his heart of love to deliver this creation from bondage unto death and the curse he pronounced upon it when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. The world in our present time has now entered a new phase of shakings from the hand of God. Nothing will survive this shaking in the world of man's religion, his politics, or in the worldwide economic system. These have now fallen under the judgment of the living God. The second thing I saw was that just before us, while the shaking is happening, the nations will muster strength to resist this shaking and to deny God and their individual ambitions to build their own kingdoms. I saw that God will permit this resistance to his shaking for but a small season. As he allowed the world to resist his shaking, I saw that a great and terrible war, much greater and more horrible than any other war, began in an unexpected place and grew and filled the earth. While this war raged, man was found having conflicts, first within themselves, then throughout the entire earth, as there was no answer for the ambition of man, which built for self, not for others. As such, the conflict of iniquity was like striking a flint stone. The sparks were inevitable and the ignition sure. This all is happening in present time and is the very next thing we will see in the world of men. It is in the midst of this that God will introduce one more element to the world of men and to their armies. He will bring upon them his own army, even that holy army of the Lord, and no one will be able to stop them. Anything left in the world of men will be completely consumed and destroyed by this army of the Lord. The time for this to happen has arrived. The first resurrection will take place during this conflict of man and will find peace when the army of the Lord finishes its march. The world and its systems must end, but only to the betterment of mankind, not to the demise of mankind. End vision. As the early disciples walked the land of Galilee with Jesus, they beheld the Father in his very person. He was seen in their eyesight as God in the flesh, the manifestation of his person, the full measure of his infinite power and glory. When Jesus performed miracles, raised the dead, spoke words of instruction and knowledge, gave power and understanding to their faith, he did so with the motivation that they would carry forth his words unto the end of the world, preaching the good news of the gospel to every creature. What the early disciples did not know, except perhaps for the Apostle Paul, was that there would be long millenniums of time that would traverse the world before this preaching was completed. I believe that in the world of men, we have arrived at the end of this transverse of time. Man's plans are in place for greater things in science and knowledge, in politics, and in worldly ambition, but it will very soon all come to naught, for the end of this time has come. We have come to two things in this time frame. First, we have come to the end of what man can devise or develop in their own personal will, and for the nations that exist at this time. The second thing that has developed is that men who do not believe in God, who do think they carry the good news of the gospel, have become nations unto themselves in the form of denominations, and as a result have built for that rather than for the kingdom of God. As a result, man has twisted the word of God in such a way as to pervert the gospel, and in our day the entire gospel has become a fallacy, a ruse, a word mocked and made fun of, and is disregarded rather than accepted. The gospel is preached, has portrayed Jesus and his desire for the kingdom of God to be manifested into a grotesque creature of horrible proportions. The true gospel is not generally preached, nor can it be, until the Lord seals the overcomers in their foreheads with the mark of God. Once this seal is completed and they are marked, we will see the demise of this world's system and the manifestation of the sons of God. Then the true gospel will be known, for God will be seen once again, not just in the life of Jesus, but in the life manifest of the true overcomers. These things are not just a vain hope. This manifestation has to take place because it is part of the law of God for this time. He anointed and ordained the mystery of iniquity to run its full course, just as he ordained the mystery of God to be completed. For the mystery of God to be completed, God must set in motion the force of his Spirit to cleanse the earth of the curse, of the fall, and of all the realms of death and dying. And God has ordained in the mystery of God that this cleansing and end of death would be done in such a manner as to reveal that no one other than God himself is doing the work. That God is working not just to cleanse creation from death and dying, but from not knowing him and his love, by which he will consume all things back unto himself. This working of God will be done through a company of nobodies, a people who were first judged and who lost their lives, exchanging who they were as persons with who he is as God. A people who fit in nowhere in this present world and who fit in nowhere in their own ambition or ability, because they laid down their own ambition or ability. When I speak of ambition or ability, I speak of that in the sense of they who attempt to be in their faith. In the world, they may work at jobs or have a career, which is not what I speak of. I speak of their own ambition or ability to show forth any kind of manifestation of God in their lives. They have instead laid down their lives, allowing God to do as he pleases with them. These are the ones whom God has laid upon his hand. These are the ones whom God has laid upon his hand. He has worked to remove from them their very lives. Just as Jesus laid down his life, so these laid down theirs. They were identified with Jesus in his suffering, passion, and atonement. So these became like him. They did not defend self. All of this is for what purpose? So that God may be seen. For the end result of your patient waiting for the coming of the Lord is not just to receive your reward, but to manifest God without measure through your very person. Just as Philip was admonished by Jesus that he had seen Jesus, he had seen God, so the overcomers will reveal worldwide God in two ways. First, they will manifest him without measure upon new bodies, which they will receive in this time of upheaval and tribulation. And secondly, they will reveal once again the true gospel. In the mystery of God, God has one desire, and that is to be one with what he created, and that is all that he made in this earth. But he has done this in the person of Jesus, and will continue it in the person of the overcomer. He has done this in such a way as to reveal himself as the Savior and not another, as the one who man will see and enjoy and no one else. His entire face and facial features will in time be revealed to mankind through the company of they that overcame. He subjected all this creation to death and futility to simply reveal that he alone is the source of life, the way out of death and futility. He alone carries within his person that portion of himself which is the answer for every man. To do this, however, it must be understood that he chose but a small, measured group out of humanity in which his judgment against death would first be completed, and in which he would exemplify the unlimited power of his resurrection life. It is in the ending of this death and in the power of that resurrection that mankind will see God. For us here in our home, we are very excited to see the shakings take place around us, because it reveals to us just one more way the soon coming of the Lord. Not just that the Lord bases his coming upon world upheaval or problems, but that the iniquity that brought the world to such problems has come to the full. We rejoice when we see the delusions of man come full circle, and that men have no answer to their very delusions. We care not about one world governments, the threats of global economies, the money system, or the wars amongst nations. These things do not motivate the Lord to come any sooner. What we see and care about is that men have begun in our time to follow after a Jesus who to them is the answer to all their problems. A Jesus who comes across to them in such power and glory and in words of prophecy and edification, manifesting them in wealth and worldly goods. A Jesus who gives them first place in importance and in substance. A Jesus who gives them all they need to become wealthy and rich in this world, and to know that they won't be inconvenienced by the demise of worldly systems, because this Jesus will cause them to escape it. It is this Jesus that we here in our home see as the one true sign that the end of all things has come. For this Jesus I described is a false Jesus, the abomination that makes all this desolate. And to remind you again that the Jesus we saw came across with power and glory and words of prophecy and edification, manifesting him in wealth and worldly goods, who gave them first place in importance and substance, who gives all you need to become wealthy and rich in this world, and to know they won't be inconvenienced by the demise of worldly systems because this Jesus will cause them to escape it, that is the one that is the false Jesus, the abomination that makes all this desolate. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." What shows to us the soon coming of Jesus is the fact that over 99% of Christianity is following the false Jesus, and that Jesus sure does get around. In the mystery of God, the workings of God are to seclude himself. He hides away, unknown and undetected by religious man. I'll read that again. In the mystery of God, the workings of God are to seclude himself. He hides away, unknown and undetected by religious man. Yet religious man includes this God/Jesus image they have invented into all they think and do. All that is imaginable to them and that panders to their fleshly ambitions, they include this convenient false God/Jesus into. The abomination that makes desolate has desolated them. The abomination that has come to them is the confession that they are walking in the life of his spirit, when in fact they do not know the power of his life and are only holding to strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So more than worldly troubles, the crash of the money systems, the turmoil between nations, and the late hour we are in, is this sure sign that the false Jesus being preached, taught, and prophesied is the one true sign that the Lord is about to come. And when the Lord does come and does manifest his true sons and daughters, then will God truly be seen once again. Just as he was seen as Jesus, so will he be seen as the overcoming company. Just as Jesus formed the group of disciples, so these will finish that grouping. The shakings that are only just beginning now will culminate in the revelation of the glorified overcomers. Whatever survives the shaking of God that is now beginning will not survive the overcomers coming forth out of death into life. Everything man has built will be unbuilt immediately by the manifestation of the overcomers. God desires to be seen. To do so, he must remove from mankind their own way so that mankind can see clearly and behold the face of God. This face will be seen in a people when the people, the overcomers are seen. Mankind will only see God. This face will be seen in a people when the people, the overcomers are seen. Mankind will only see God. There will be no difference in that day between seeing God's face and seeing God's face in this glorified company. For the full utterance of his voice and the full manifestation of his person will be unlimited through this glorified company of saints. Are you presently suppressed in your personal will? Have you been put down and compressed by your outward circumstance? Have you arrived, dear reader of these pages, to a place where your life is empty and dormant, and you simply wait for the coming of the Lord to happen? If that is you, then you are a part of this which is about to happen, even the coming of the Lord to glorify and manifest his true overcomers. We lose our life in exchange for his. We are set aside to endure his personal judgments upon us in order to rise to judge the earth and even all that inhabits the heavens. Are you set aside? Is your life consumed by solitude? Know that you are set aside and consumed by solitude as part of your preparation for his manifesting presence. There is nothing else that will answer this. You may have a job or be amongst people in large numbers day by day, but in your heart, you are separate and alone. You may be surrounded by the mundane circumstances of life day by day, the nitty-gritty of everyday living, but this is all to prepare you to rule over the nations of the earth. In you, dear reader, the mystery of God will be completed first, and God will be seen. No one will be able to see anyone other than God when you finally come into the glorified state in a new body, pumping the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ within your very veins. Mankind will see God. These are not just hopeful promises and justifiable ambitions. We are in this emptying process for a very specific reason, and that is to show forth the praises of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. Forget the collapsing world around you and fix your gaze upon the Lord alone. He is going to appear in your very flesh. Comfort yourself knowing this and be glad, for the time for this to happen has arrived. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.